Chapter 51. Terror Stands. Battle Barge Charybdis Bridge. Even with the ship's augers set to maximum magnification, the edge of Terra's realm border was still a distant blur. But they were here, through the storm, and within touching distance of the throne world. All sensoria told them, without doubt or contradiction, that they had reached the segmentum solar and were only a few weeks' travel from the sovereign territory of the Emperor. Through the vagaries and madness of the warp, they had in fact travelled far beyond Nocturne by any logical reckoning. Numeon cut a lonely figure, standing before the fully wide iris of the ship's main oculus. Having returned to real space, the Charybdis' shutters were up, and the aperture before the salamander commanded a wide and imposing view. Engine seers had managed to restore motive function to the ship's plasma drives. By all accounts, the warp engines also remained functional, but they had no need of them now. A heading was struck with an ambivalent fusion of hope, despair, and melancholy. Odysseon had appeared to wear the worst of it. Now absent from his command throne, the shipmaster had looked a ragged and hollow figure as he left the bridge to Essenzi. Circe lived, but she had been committed to the apothecarian under care of the vessel's medicae. The navigator had regressed into a catatonic fugue state and had not uttered a single word since translation back into real space. Whatever horrors had been visited upon the crew and Odysseon, she had been subjected to also. The bridge was all but barren, occupied by a skeleton crew scavenged from whoever was left. Barring Odysseon and Essenzi, the rest had been killed by the sirens. Despite the cleansing efforts of servitors, the deck was still stained red. So many slain. Numeon held the fuller, but still found no comfort in its touch. He felt something, though, something worse than disappointment or anger and frustration. Relief. It was over, at last. With Terra within reach, he could relent. "Let's hear it again," he said to Zetos, who was standing nearby with Dakar and Abidemi. Caspian Hecht was the only other legionary on deck, having arrived with Numeon. Arms folded, he leaned against a bulkhead column, aloof and estranged from the others, as he had always been since coming aboard. Zetos put a consoling hand on Numeon's shoulder. "No one could have asked more of you, brother captain." Numeon nodded, grateful but unreceptive. "Shipwide this time," he said. "Broadcast it across every vox. What's left of our company, legionaries and crew, should know that Terra endures." After a few moments of static, the message relayed through every voxcaster on the Charybdis. From the barracks to the engineerium, every man and woman of the crew, every legionary, stopped what they were doing. In the apothecarium, where he helped minister to the likes of Gargo and the other wounded, Ushaman raised his head to listen. At Circe's side, Odysseon gently clasped her hand in the hope that she would hear it too. Patrolling the corridors of the ship, making it secure and trying to atone for his previous failure, Zathen stopped and looked up at a crackling vox unit nearby. His warriors did the same, lowering their weapons and taking heed. Alone in the solitorium, Varkir opened his eyes and paused in his meditations. For a few moments, all ceased as the ship held its breath in rapt attention at the words of the seventh Primarch.
"Sons and daughters of the Emperor," intoned a deep stentorian voice, laced with static and signal artifacting. "Terra stands. Heed my words, the words of Rogaldorn, Lord of the Imperial Fists and the Emperor's appointed Praetorian. Terra still stands. We endure, unbowed and defiant against the treachery of Horus. The Emperor beseeches you, return to the throne world. All loyal legions must return to the throne world immediately. Terra stands! Ave Imperator!
The message ended there, but was being broadcast on a voxed and astropathic repeat from the Imperial Palace. Zetos cut the recording. It was a call to arms. Horus must be headed to Terra. Dawn needed all loyal sons to stand up in its defense.
Gilliman said it was over, said Numeon. He was wrong. An entire legion, nay, three legions, trapped on the other side of the storm, languishing in desperate ignorance.
He shook his head.
If they knew. If they knew, then every loyal son still on Macragge would leave Imperium Secundus and race to Terra, said Zetos, finishing the thought. We can be the messengers, brother captain. It has meaning, purpose. Once we reach Terra, there will be no return. Dawn won't allow it.
Numeon voiced his thoughts aloud. He turned to Essenzi, sitting on Odysseon's command throne.
Can we hail them?
Whatever signal they are using is amplified many times over. I expect an entire astropathic choir has lent its voice to it. We would have to get much closer, my lord.
Zetos sensed Numeon's unease as he returned his gaze to the vista of space encapsulated by the oculus. He was wise enough to keep his voice low so only his intended recipient could hear.
Are you considering not continuing on to Terra? It feels like a turning point, doesn't it? A place where the path diverges. Along one fork lies Terra, along the other.
We have tried the other. It almost killed us.
I made an oath, brother,
said Numeon, clenching the sigil tighter.
As did I, as did we all.
Zetos moved in closer, and Numeon hated how conspiratorial their voices sounded.
But this is Terra, the Imperial Palace. Can we really turn our backs on it?
Numeon looked him in the eye. All of his wounds, his trials, had never felt so wearisome.
And yet we turn our backs on Vulcan.
It wasn't an accusation. It was a genuine statement of fact. It was almost a request for permission.
Let it be over. Let it be done. Haven't I given enough?
Zetos was about to reply, but Numeon was already leaving.
Brother Captain,
he sounded nonplussed and spoke to Numeon's back.
Where are you going?
To the last vigil.